Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the live Between the Ropes broadcast immediately following WWE Raw. I'm Brian Fritz. He is Michael Wiseman, both of us from BetweenTheRopes.com. Thanks for joining in. We appreciate it. Hope you subscribe to us here on our YouTube channel. If you haven't done it yet, do it right now. It only takes a couple of seconds. And also feel free to like our videos, share them, and make comments as well. And on top of that, we do have the live chat going, so you can take part in the conversation, ask any questions, have nice dialogue with other people as well on there. And also, make sure you check us out over at BetweenTheRopes.com. And also, feel free to follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. And you can always leave questions there as we put up the link for this video there earlier in the day. So
Is this Monday Night Football game not over yet? Fantasy team is up by 2 freaking points. And that's it. I need this game to be over right now. Who has the ball?
The last time I saw, the Lions had the ball.
Okay, good. Thank the good. Okay, woo.
Seahawks must have the ball. They're high-fiving.
Son of a gun. No, that's not good.
But there's only a minute left, and the Lions don't have any timeouts, so they're just going to take a knee.
Okay. Wait. Oh, really? Because I'm literally winning this match. Can you see this? It's like, it's 82-84.9. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
This You're is up by crazy. 2.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, they're just taking a knee. He's got one knee, and that's it.
Yes. Oh, Lord. This is the greatest day of my life. I picked wrong this week. So I went against my gut. I went with the Cardinals for my defense instead of the Panthers. And the Panthers had a killer game yesterday. And I was worried that was going to be my downfall.
Mm.
Oh, man, this is it's a stressful night for me. Woo, okay.
Apparently. So what is the adult beverage you're enjoying tonight for the podcast?
It's funny you should ask. You know how a couple weeks ago there was the whatever they call it, the Red Moon? Remember that, the Blood Moon?
Blood Moon.
Right. Well, tonight, on Between the Ropes, get the Blue Moon.
There you go. You're going back to Blue Moon. You're all pumpkined out already, huh?
Well, I got a ton of pumpkin over there. Here's the other thing. This coming Saturday, we're going to the NASCAR race because it's here in Charlotte. And I got a beer fridge full of Coors Light that we're carrying. So I got to change it up because you can't carry bottles. You can only carry cans. So I'm getting something different on right now. So wait for it. Oh, and there we go.
You are going to enjoy the NASCAR race, but let me ask you this. Will you fully be able to appreciate that race knowing that your boy Jimmy Johnson is already out of the chase?
Man, it's busting my balls today, man. That was
all because a $4 part on his car didn't work right this past week.
It was like he was going into this weekend clear to go. He was going to be on, and yeah, it was rough. It was rough watching the race yesterday, but you know, I'll pull for Gordon. It's Gordon's last season. I hope he gets the win.
I know everybody's excited about us talking NASCAR here, so we will get into Raw, of course. We'll also talk a little bit about WWE Madison Square Garden show from over the weekend, and we can talk a little NXT. They have TakeOver coming up on Wednesday night, the latest edition of that. So let's get into Raw.
Wait, what about we also got to bring up the old Impact Wrestling, TNA, Bound for Glory series.
Down in a Blaze of Glory, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's a Bon Jovi song, I think. Let's talk about Raw first, which is another show that might have been
right.
Down in a Blaze of Glory.
Save the best for last.
Right. So, what are your impressions of Raw tonight?
I thought I liked the ending. Is there something else to talk about with this show? Because
here's the thing. I mean, I understand why New Day is getting a push because they are so entertaining, and quite honestly, Vince McMahon loves the entertainment factor that New Day brings with them. So it makes sense that they are going to be pushed harder and harder. And I think you're starting to see some of that influence because Vince will sit there, and I believe there was even a tweet recently that Vince put out there talking about how the New Day put the E in entertainment for WWE. So, and of course, Vince didn't tweet that, but he told his assistant to tweet that. But
he said, swipe left, now swipe right, hit the I.
Exactly.
Hit the E.
So But that, to me, this screams Vince McMahon, because he wants to push New Day because he believes they're entertaining, and they got to try to get him over his heels, which is, it's just a weird dynamic with them, because they're, you know, so entertaining and they're so fun. They're so creative. They've got the trombone. They're having fun. I mean, all the stuff, especially that they do, you don't see on TV when it comes to the YouTube videos and the Instagram pictures and tweets and whatnot. But yet, got to get him over now with heels all of a sudden. And they not only beat up Dolph Ziggler tonight, but they also beat up John Cena and the Dudleys to close out the show.
Yeah, I, you know, it might have been a Vince McMahon specialty. I think the New Day is, they're just working. They're clicking. They're firing on all cylinders. It's a group that has come together and overcome some pretty dynamic odds. We all wrote them off when this gimmick first came out. And so the talent of these three men carried them to where they are today. And the biggest thing for me was something fresh and exciting. We've seen these guys be fun, be funny, play the trombone, poke fun at their opponents. And so I did appreciate that they're further developing their characters. They're giving them a little bit more of an edge. They're giving them some kind of viciousness that they didn't have before. And that makes them that much more credible. And this closing segment tonight really solidifies them as being very popular guys, but almost in that upper echelon of acts we have on WWE right now.
Well, I find it kind of weird, though, that now all of a sudden that WWE wants to make them into heels, like actually treat them more like heels too, in that typical fashion, when there's so many other guys that are on the roster that they're hell bent on trying to say, this guy's not a heel, this guy's not a baby face, he's just whatever you make of him that night. And we've seen that so many times when it comes to Big Show. We kind of see it with Brock Lesnar, and we see it all the time when it comes to the Divas division, including tonight, where Team Bad, especially Sasha Banks, they were baby faces because they're in Boston, where Sasha's from. Also to the point where Stephanie McMahon, where a couple of weeks ago, she's dancing and getting jiggy with it with a New Day. And then here tonight, she's bossing everybody around and she's all ticked off, you know, like somebody, you know, burned her crepes this morning or something. And she took it out on anybody that crossed her path, including the New Day. And of course, she had to scold Seth Rollins and Kane in the middle of the ring. So it's just whatever WWE wants to make of people on that given night, I guess.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. I think their character development is so far over the map that it's just not, it's so inconsistent. It basically, I feel like it slaps me in the face when your characters change this much from week to week without much of an explanation. But on the other hand, I do think it made sense with the New Day. I think, yes, they were these weak bad guys who came out and were just kind of loosey-goosey bad guys. And then they kind of established their act, especially going into that SummerSlam weekend. They really had this thing that worked with the audience. And so, yes, even though they're turning them heel and it seems kind of weird, they're going up against the Dudley Boys, who are the obvious babyface. And so I kind of buy it. And I think they still kept that core component, their likability, their jokes, their fantastic mic work. So I buy it. And again, these guys need an edge. They have not had an edge yet. Xavier Woods needs an edge. Kofi Kingston needs an edge. Big E needs something. And this is going to give them that next step towards being more credible. And not only that, I think once these guys break apart, them being a little bit of a rougher heel will end up looking better for them as singles competitors on down the road. Again, I agree with you. Character development is all over the road in WWE, and it's pretty terrible for the most part. But I like that segment quite a bit.
And we'll talk to them about the Madison Square Garden show later on, but I thought it was pretty surprising that they did not do a title change on that show. And I think everybody thought they're going to do it. It was going to be the Dudleys return to Madison Square Garden and being the New Day, and that did not happen. So I think it was a little surprising that going into the show tonight, the New Day was still the tag champ. So let's go through the show from beginning to end real quick. How about that?
Okay, let's do it.
So Brock Lesnar came out. Paul Heyman was bragging about, we beat up Big Show again. So let's focus on Hell in a Cell. That's what really counts now. So he is talking about the Devil's Playground and, you know, talking about how, Undertaker, you want to call this your match? My ass. So Heyman was talking about, ended the streak, and now we're going to end you at Hell in a Cell and this storied rivalry. Well, Big Show, for whatever reason, couldn't handle that. So he came out and decided that, you know what, you were the better man the other night. You took me to Suplex City at Madison Square Garden, so let me shake your hand. Brock laughed at him, and walked out of the ring. So Big Show said, oh, must be nice that you can just kind of do things like that, you know, when I'm trying to be the better man. So I hope Undertaker kicks your ass. Well, Brock Lesnar decided to come back in the ring and kick his ass. So overhead suplex, F5, see a Big Show.
I mean, this is one of those segments that just, I love Paul Heyman, obviously. Brock Lesnar being out there was important to the show and important to continue the storyline, whatever, whatever. Wasted segment for the most part. Another promo, another ring moment, another 10 minutes. It did nothing for this show. And honestly, I don't think it did very much for this feud. We know where it's going. We know what's going to end up. So, meh.
Well, the whole thing is that it's whether or not people care about Big Show. It's impressive that Brock can throw him around, but people just don't buy into Big Show. You know, even though they tried to push him for 2 weeks to build up that Brock Lesnar match at the Garden, but people are just tired of Big Show, and the reactions are the wrong kind of heat that you would want. So after that, we got the first time where Seth Rollins was backstage talking to Stephanie, and he was just like, wait a second, I'm supposed to tag with Big Show to take on the Dudleys tonight. So yeah, call off that match. And Stephanie said, too bad, sucker. You're still going to have the match. Then they did a 6-man tag. They had Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton against the Wyatt family, including Braun Strowman. And it was actually a really good 6-man tag. Crowd really got into it there in Boston. And in the end, it was Reigns, Ambrose, and Orton getting the victory. Orton RKO'd Luke Harper. Bray Wyatt was outside the ring already. Roman Reigns said, watch what I do to this man. And he tore him in half with a spear and got the pin.
Well, yep, it was a solid 6-man tag. Again, I feel like it's stuff we've seen again and right. again.
But so. It was Braun Strowman.
Yeah, Braun Strowman. Woo! Let me muster up some excitement on this side of the microphone over here. Give me a few minutes.
Hey, he was excited when I knew who he was when I ran into him at a local Chipotle. Okay.
Finally, somebody knows who I am.
Speaking of that, okay, I've told you about how the two different times I've gone to said Chipotle and run into Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. At both times, he has not acknowledged me, which is perfectly fine. I don't want to pee down the space. I ran into him a third time at said Chipotle last week.
Wow.
This time, I was already seated enjoying my meal with a friend, and I saw him walk in, and I decided not to say anything or try to, I mean, it was totally cool. I mean, I don't blame the guy from the past, but he was there and I saw him in a way I'd never seen him before. That's because Baron Corbin was not wearing black. He actually was wearing a red shirt.
Wow. So. That's unique. I have a question for you. Way off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Whenever we were going to SmackDown, we stopped and ate at a taco place, a Tex-Mex place. What was it? I spilled salsa all over myself. You remember this?
That would be lime.
Lime. Okay.
Lime is, they're a chain, but only here in Florida, I think. And it's not like a huge chain. So I know of a couple different ones here, but yeah, lime, which is like fresh tacos.
Yeah. Okay. I just was curious. I think they're opening up some kind of Tex-Mex place near here, but I don't think it's that.
Maybe well, hey, man, I'm still waiting for them to open up a Genghis Grill here because the closest one to me is in Tampa, or else I have to go up to your neck of the woods. It's in Winston-Salem.
Uh-huh. That's right. Man, it's delicious.
Somebody's got to open up the Genghis down here, man.
I don't even think the one here in Winston does that great a business. I mean, they're going to shut it down one day. You're going to feel real bad about that.
If I lived there, they'd be in great shape right now. I'll tell you that. Okay? Let's put it this way. Not that this place is any fancy. My wife and I actually went to Tampa to go to Genghis Grill and then go to a movie because it was a unique movie theater that we're going to as well. But yeah, we made the trip, which was over an hour to go down there to go to this freaking restaurant and go to this movie theater.
Plus, it's in Tampa, so dear Lord.
Oh, Tampa. I've had so many bad, bad, bad things happen in Tampa, the home of the scummer.
Home of the scummer. There we go.
The scummer. And back to Raw we go. So Neville took on Sheamus in the worthless segment of the night. King Barrett filled in on commentary, and he said he was a huge fan of Neville but had a problem with him. Sheamus came out, the glow-in-the-dark version of Sheamus that we get now, where the dude has no tan and they put the lights on him so bright that he literally glows in the dark. Okay. This is like an aberration out there. He is so bright. It is blinding. I need sunglasses for when he comes out. So he comes out. He said, respect me because I'm a real Irishman here in Boston, and called Neville a leprechaun, and they rang the bell. They started the match. And of course, Wade Barrett, or whatever he is now, King Barrett, got up, distracted Neville, and he ate a brogue kick. The match lasted about 30 seconds.
Hmm.
Not good.
Nope. And it's a shame because Neville is such a great talent, and he was having some pretty good storylines. I just can't figure out why they're burying him all of a sudden. To Sheamus, I guess it makes sense because they want to establish Sheamus as the main event guy. But again, why would you take this guy who is so popular and has such an awesome purple shirt? My God, his purple shirt is awesome.
Wasn't it a coincidence that you said it's a shame when you started talking about Sheamus, considering that was the beginning of his old theme music?
Yeah, it's a shame that Sheamus has red hair and a red beard and goes everywhere. Yeah, that's right? Something like
that. I don't know if that's the lyrics. It might be, though. I'm not sure.
He's Irish and he kicks people
in the face.
Oh, geez. I don't know. What other stereotypes do we have?
There we go. So we got a little corporate Kane talking about, I'm having a hard time getting around. At least he somehow, though, had the healing powers that he's no longer on crutches like he was a couple of nights ago. But now he had a walking boot. But he suggested, you know what? Big Show can't go in the match against the Dudleys. I'll take your spot. So Seth Rollins came out and he protested and said, Kane is no Tom Brady, even though they both have deflated balls. Deflategate joke. So then he said, Kane can't lie and cheat and swindle his way into getting whatever he wants in life. So Kane said, hey, man, have you seen my coffee mug? It says world's best director of operations, which is a great reference. He's bringing up the coffee mug.
Yes.
He said he takes it very serious and wants to do the best job that he can. Then ticked off Stephanie McMahon came out, scolded both of the bad boys out there. And she then, for whatever reason, talked about how dare you put down Tom Brady because he's a great leader who will no doubt lead the Patriots to another Super Bowl championship. And then she said, oh, by the way, the Monster Kane is getting a title shot at Hell in a Cell against Seth Rollins. Her music hit. She commanded the music to be stopped. And she said, oh, by the way, if the Monster Kane does not win at Hell in a Cell, then Corporate Kane is fired for being the director of operations. What a stipulation.
So everybody was already hoping that Seth Rollins would win, and now they're definitely hoping Seth Rollins will win.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't mind Kane as director of operations. It's
I do. Are you kidding me? No, it's a terrible gimmick. Seeing Kane out there every week.
Well, if they overdo it, yes. Yes.
Oh, Lord, it's the worst if they overdo it. If they do it at all, it's the freaking worst.
It gets a little bit tiring after a while.
A little bit tiring. It's the worst. Did you hear? It is the worst.
Okay, if you say so.
What is worse than Kane as director of operations?
Stephanie McMahon scolding everybody.
At least it makes sense. Because she's crazy.
It does? Well, you know what doesn't make sense? Is that Seth Rollins, as they tell everybody, is the handpicked champion of the authority. Yet, they keep putting him in the most precarious positions.
Gotta test him, man. You gotta see if he's got what it takes to be the guts.
Going into tonight, I believe in his last 8 or 9 televised matches, he had only won one of them. Between that and the Garden Show.
It's like I always say on this show every week, wins and losses don't matter. That's what I preach every week.
Apparently. So they actually did a women's match. I'm not going to call them divas. Paige against Natalya. So Natalya is alive and doing well in that she beat Paige clean in the middle of the ring with a sharpshooter and made her tap out. What?
Weird.
Pretty solid match.
Hmm. Yeah. Again, same thing we've seen forever and ever and ever.
After that, they had a, oh my God, they had Ryback cut a promo where he started talking. Then they showed like this video package of him like beating people up, and then back to Ryback, who was talking about how it was feeding time and he is the lion and Owens is the prey. He was like going into such another world that if he had snarled and wore tassels, I swear he was the ultimate warrior. If he had gone, you know, and talked about taking the cockpit and going straight down Hulk Hogan. Oh, wait, that was Ultimate Warrior going into Mania 6. Uh-huh. But yeah, that was an interesting promo from the Ryback, who continues to dazzle with his verbal skills.
How do you reckon, I've always kind of wondered this, how do you reckon these guys, when they prepare for these promos, where they have these video packages stuck in the middle, do they go back to the production team and say, hey guys, I'm going to go out there and cut a promo, and I want you guys, no, stop what you're doing, this WWE 24 show, no, the WWE Network stuff, don't do that. Right now, instead, make me a 30-second to 1-minute promo package of all my greatest hits in the ring so I can intersperse it with my talking points. Is that how that works?
Maybe.
Like, okay, Mr. Ryback, whatever you say, Mr. Well, gladly,
maybe,
Mr. Ryback.
Maybe they just say, stop what you're doing because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. Oh, wait. That's the Humpty Dance. I'm sorry.
Dating yourself, Brian. Don't date yourself. That's not, that's not good for business.
Hey, man, don't mess with the Humpty Dance, okay? But it is kind of curious. I mean, it's just that promo from Ryback. The funny thing is, if anybody saw like the roundtable segment that they did on WWE Network, or the, what is it, Dinner with Three or whatever, mm-hmm. it was Ryback and Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan, and they were talking about if the Intercontinental Championship is cursed. Ryback is actually a damn smart guy and can actually put together meaningful sentences together. And then they give him these promos where he sounds like, I am big man. I tossed you round, you know, and it's just clunky and awkward and not good.
So wait, he actually does sound competent in the real world?
He does. He does. He sounds like a normal person.
My impression of Ryback is, first off, these terrible promos. And the other thing is all of his great moments from Tough Enough. Whenever he had the Rice Krispie treats, there's a good Rice Krispie treat story in there.
That's back when he was Skip Sheffield, though, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, woo-woo, what it do?
Okay, so they had Kevin Owens take on Sin Cara. Sin Cara got a couple springboard moves in, but that was all she wrote. Pop-up powerbomb, KO with the victory in about 2.5 minutes. So it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
He beat up Kalisto afterwards too. Ryback had to chase him off though.
Isn't Cara like face or something like in English, right? Sin Cara is face in English. It makes a lot of sense. Sin Cara without your face, because Kevin Owens just smashed it in. It makes, works out.
I need to brush up on my Espanol. Mm-hmm. I only took 3 years of it in high school and 2 semesters of it in college and still can't speak the language. So
if you ever want to sit ringside at the Spanish announce table, Brian, you should brush up on your Spanish.
Probably, I guess. Let's see. What was next? Stephanie McMahon smacking down the New Day backstage. And she told them, do not even, you know, keep singing my name and don't play that trombone or else there's going to be hell. And speaking of hell, she made a match with them at Hell in a Cell where they're going to face the Dudleys. So another match. Mind you, don't they have to put a stipulation on this or something? Because otherwise Xavier Woods is just going to keep running in and causing DQs.
Yeah, exactly. That's common sense, logical booking. They're not going to do it. WWE.
John Cena and Roman Reigns are in the ring. They did a very nice segment talking about it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month and all the work that WWE is doing with Susan G. Komen Foundation to raise that awareness. And they had some women that survived breast cancer in there. So, and they had all the other superstars up on the stage. So it was a really nice segment there.
And they had CM Punk at home live tweeting the event saying how great terrible it was and how awesome, I mean awful, Susan G. Komen is. So
right, by the way, speaking of Punk, on a side note, you see that he hurt his shoulder and now he can't train until like the middle of October at the earliest, and it's another setback for his first ever UFC fight, which is probably gonna be pushed back like another 6 months now. So
his first and only UFC fight.
This has a lot of people once again chiming up with the That's great. He wants to train. That's great. He wants to fight, but he's never going to have a fight.
So, I mean, they could still, okay. Rumor was you're looking at UFC 200, right? They're going to load that card to the brim.
Right. And that's in July. So that would, the timeline fits still.
It could still work. And I think that's when you're going to see him. I just am doubting that we will see him much beyond a one fight basis.
You might be right. So Seth Rollins and Corporate Kane against the Dudley Boys. This went to a non-finish because Corporate Kane was hobbled and would tag Seth Rollins. And Seth was like, you're worthless. This is bullcrap. To a point where he had Kane got checked out by the doctor. And the doctor insisted he go to the back. And as he was going to the back, he was smiling back at Seth. And Seth was like, this is ridiculous. He's fine. He doesn't need to go back there. So Seth was all alone with the Dudleys. They decided to get the tables, which would have been a DQ, of course. And both of them went outside the ring, got a table, were propping it up to go into the ring when Seth Rollins drop kicked the table into them. And guess what? That was a DQ or something. They didn't even announce it. And then afterwards, Dudleys left. And guess what? Here comes Kane, the Demon Kane this time. And actually, the Dudleys took him out because it was revenge from SmackDown. Seth Rollins was bragging about it. And of course, Kane rose from the dead, grabbed his throat, and chokeslammed him through the table.
I'm sorry. That whole stuff. Yeah, it was interesting. I'm too busy looking up all the people we're going to be sending cease and desist letters to.
Oh, okay. We'll get into that.
Get your back.
We'll get into that. So that segment, I mean, it was okay. It was predictable what they were going to do, but it was fine. The match was fine too. There was nothing really wrong with it. So here's an interesting one though. So you go back earlier in the day, a limo pulls up and guess what? Team Bella arrives. And of course, Nikki has to put on a Yankees hat because they're in Boston and you know, they're talking about whatever they're talking about. And guess what? Another limo shows up and Team Bad gets out and they start bickering and Sasha takes the Yankees hat and throws it and Nikki wants to fight and Team Bad's laughing as the other girls hold back Nikki. So that set up a match. Six women tag match. Nikki Bree and Alicia Fox against Sasha, Naomi, and Tamina. Even before the match, Sasha, guess what? She got to cut a promo because she was in her hometown, but not too long because as she's talking about being from Boston and how it was boss, B-O-S-S, ton on this night because she's the boss, you know. It got interrupted by the Bellas music. It was an okay match in the end. Everybody kind of hit their finisher at one point near the end. And then Sasha got Alicia in the bank statement and got her to tap out.
Yeah, and it was good to see Sasha really look pretty solid here. She's taken a step back in recent weeks, obviously prepping for this NXT TakeOver event. So I'm very happy. They got a little more spotlight put on her. She's super, super over. My problem with it is, as all of these, with it is with all these Diva segments, they're just all, too many cooks in the kitchen. There's no spotlight on individuals. And if you want to make Divas Wrestling real again, you got to have individuals rise up. Hopefully that happens. Hopefully the turning point is NXT TakeOver and then Hell in a Cell, and we can move forward with some fresh Divas matchups. I'm over this faction. Let's move on with our lives.
I agree, and I also think they need to stop with treating the women like they're just bickering, like they're on the Real Housewives of whatever city, you know? Because when you start doing that, I mean, they all look like fools. And, you know, they shouldn't have to do that. And I know that, you know, Nikki and Brie are on Total Divas and there's bickering and catfighting and whatever on there, I guess. I don't watch it. But I mean, if you talk about this Divas Revolution, you want to have strong women, then present them as strong women. Don't present them as bickering divas. So I know people say you're nitpicking on that, but I'm going to nitpick. I'm going to, you know, armchair quarterback it. So it's just ridiculous, and they need to book them stronger, and they need to individualize them. Like you said, I am really hoping that once they get past this, we can get like a really good Charlotte Sasha Banks feud. Seth, that's what they really need right now. And give them a showcase to say, go out there and have really good matches. Not these 5-minute matches. I'm not saying they're going to go for a half hour, but give them, you know, an opportunity to go 10, 15 minutes, you know, and show what they can do. And they have great chemistry together. So let them go out there and tear it up. So
they're right. That's right.
Oh, what a segment we got here, though, man. Summer Rae in the ring.
Oh, my God. Okay, before you even get to this, this is one of the worst segments I have seen on Raw all year, and it is one of the worst directions you could take this angle. And yes, I know I'm being grumpy. Look, I'm so angry my monitor is shaking. Grumpy quarterback, old man, wrestling fan Wiseman, right? That's who I am right now.
But, you know, all you young kids out there, y'all listen to me here, Sonny.
I just it was so bad. This marriage proposal from Summer Rae and Rusev's weird response to it. I don't know.
Ugh. Well, Summer was out there talking about she wanted to honor one man, and that's Rusev. So Rusev comes out there and says, "You know, this all started. I didn't even like you, but you know, he's warmed up to her." So of course, Summer got down on one knee and she said, "Ruru, will you marry me?" And she had a ring and everything. And Rusev bantered to the crowd a little bit, and then he said, "Yes, I say yes." And then he said, "Wait a second, just not yet." He said, "To prove that they are worthy of one another, he needs to have gold around his waist first before he puts gold on her finger." That makes absolutely no freaking sense.
Yep, that's where it broke down for me, brother.
You know what this whole thing is, though. Ratings are down, and believe it or not, as corny as that can be, weddings equal ratings. So to me, that's what it is. Oh, and by the way, I totally glossed over this. Before she actually proposed, there was the worst, corniest video package ever that Summer Rae had put together about the lovely Rusev. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, a year ago, Rusev was like this unbeatable monster. Mm-hmm. A year ago, and fast forward to now, and it's just this mid-card bumbling fool almost. I mean, it's, you know, they don't know what to do with him. I'm like, he was on such a great path before, and he was unique. He stood out. The way they used him and Lana were a great team, and then they broke it up for whatever reason, and they just minimalized him, and they should have never taken Lana away from him. I know that they thought the talk was, oh, well, Lana's going to be a standout on her own, and that just never happened, and then she got injured. So, it's just a comedy of errors on what they've done here with these two.
They made him wear shoes, and ever since he wore shoes, it's been all downhill from there. So,
well, that's because he broke his ankle that one time.
I'm just saying. The guy was wrestling in bare feet. He was doing awesome. He was wrestling John Cena at WrestleMania. He puts on shoes, and now he's having these terrible marriage angles.
Mike. He wasn't just wrestling John Cena at WrestleMania. He was coming out to the ring in a tank, okay?
Yep. And Sergeant Slaughter was not down there with John Cena, but he wishes he would have been.
He wishes he would have been. He told us that.
G.I. Joe.
When you asked him about that, he was like, "I should be down there." You're right.
It took good ideas from me. What can I say? I share my ideas. I'm like Donald Trump. I want to give back to these people.
Can you only imagine, though, if while we were sitting there at WrestleMania covering the event, if we were not in the Sergeant Slaughter side and we were on the Bob Backlund side when that was going on?
Oh, Lord. Bob Backlund.
Boy. All right. We were on the good side. Mm-hmm. And then they had the John Cena came out. He was ready for his U.S. Challenge. And wait for it. Dolph Ziggler, everybody! You know, because he wants to steal his girl back from Total Divas, or so the teaser video showed last week. But where is Dolph? And he doesn't come out. And next thing you know, the New Day come out. They drag out the corpse of Dolph Ziggler. And they're talking about, you know what? We've got this big event and on a big show and for a big title. And we need a big opponent. And that's Big E. So Big E and John Cena had a match. And John Cena won said match. And then afterwards, the New Day beat up everybody. Well, they beat up John Cena. Dudley's came down to make the save, and they got beat up too, like we said before. So New Day standing tall after destroying four men to end the show.
Yeah, and I liked it. I think it was a good angle to end the show on. We talked a lot about that. And, you know, again, they used this United States Championship in a fun way. I'm glad they ended the show with a hot angle. It doesn't happen enough. So kudos to WWE for mediocre show, but pretty nice ending.
I think the problem with all of this, too, is, one, they've got Hell in a Cell. And, yes, they did set up a couple other matches, but it still doesn't feel like a big event that's coming up. And when it comes to Raw, it's a lot of the same old, where there's nothing that really stands out as overly important. And with it being a three-hour show, and that's already long, it makes it feel that much longer. There's not, there's no wow moments. There's nothing that pops. You know, even, you know, when they were doing, you know, two, sometimes even three longer matches on a show, you know, like between 15 to 20 minutes. And if they were really good matches, especially when it came to what John Cena was doing with the U.S. Open Challenge, that made the show go by quicker and felt like there's more important things going on. And now they've gone back to this formula of shorter matches and just kind of the even Steven booking and even the goofiness with Rusev, to where I just don't get that feel of important things. Plus, I think they've really minimalized Seth Rollins as the world champion, and it doesn't feel like he should be the world champion, or it doesn't feel like the world championship is important right now. So there's a lot of different problems I think that are going on here.
I agree. And I think that you have so many guys in the wings right now waiting who could be that higher level of a star that you're not using. It just seems like you have so many gaps and you need this. So again, you need to book your shows better and give more consistent character development. We've been preaching that for weeks. I think you need to better utilize your B shows. Put guys out there who aren't getting much TV time right now for no reason, like Cesaro, like some of these other undercard talents, and use those guys in the wings so you can plug them in and give the fans who watch Raw every week some variety to what they're seeing. But, you know.
Yeah. By the way, Matt in the chat room wanted me to point this out, too, that Dolph Ziggler did come down for the save before the Dudleys, and he inadvertently super kicked Johnny Cena. So
yeah, there's a meta. They've been building that off the Total Divas. It's going to be Cena versus Ziggler for the title at Hell in a Cell, and then Cena's going to go away for a little while.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. So John Cena's going to be taking some time off following Hell in a Cell or thereabouts for whatever reason, for personal reasons. And we're not even sure how long he's going to be gone. It could be 4 weeks, 6 weeks, somewhere around there, maybe a little bit longer. But it seems like every time that John says he's going to take some time off, it's not as long as you think. So I don't know exactly what it's for. Nobody really does, but it's going to be curious to see who WWE leans on a little bit more here, especially following Hell in a Cell, because you're not going to get Brock Lesnar. You're not going to get Undertaker. And you know, Roman Reigns is going to be done with Bray Wyatt, you would think, at Hell in a Cell. So to me, I think you're going to see more Roman Reigns. And I think we could see more Dean Ambrose. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're going to see more New Day. And then, you know, I think we could see, get a little bit of a Dolph Ziggler push, especially if he beats Cena for the U.S. title, because they're going to have to explain that. And I don't know if that means Cena loses the championship or if they do an injury angle or what they do there. But it's going to be curious to see who they really get behind and who they start pushing here. And I think another guy that you have to kind of keep an eye on, to me, would be Sheamus, because sooner or later, they've got to put a little bit more attention on him and kind of fire him up, you know, just to get people ready about that Money in the Bank cash in.
You know what they could do? Work with me here for a minute, but imagine if John Cena came out and got pretty bad beat up and pretty bad hurt. And he sits down at the end of the night on a, we'll just say there's like some ring stairs behind him. He sits down and he says, "You know, y'all, gonna be taking some time off. Had a rough match tonight. It's been rough for me for a little while. So it's looking like I'm going to be going away for a little while. So just want to thank you all, blah, 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 blah. John Cena. Peace out." And the next night on Raw, he comes back out like nothing happened. Imagine if that happened.
I saw that in the first match against Brock Lesnar.
I mean, I'm just saying, maybe that could work. He's going, oh, he's going
to
go
away. So I'm really banged up and I'm hurt. So you're not going to be seeing me for a little while. And yeah, next night on Raw.
Hey, 24 hours later.
Johnny Boots and Tights is here, yo. Boop, boop.
Oh Lord. It's gonna be interesting. I think John Cena could use a little time off. I think this run has been fantastic for him. I mean, we've been praising him for months now. He's had some of the best matches of the year. His Saturday night with Seth Rollins was fantastic as well. He's done a lot for the United States title, but give the boy a break. Let him come back fresh for WrestleMania season. I'm all about that.
Yeah. Before we go any further, I do want to thank everybody that is supporting us on Patreon. If you're not and you want to do that, it would be greatly appreciated. You can go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/betweentheropes. And we also have the link to it on the top right of the Between the Ropes website. If you like what we do and you want to make sure we keep doing it and can support us by pledging, whether it's $1 a month, $3 a month, $5 a month, it would be greatly appreciated. It goes a long way in helping us because this is not our full-time jobs. And, you know, we spend time on this. We take time away from our other jobs and also just all the different costs that go into doing the broadcast, doing the podcast, maintaining the website. So if you can't support us, if you like what we do, please support us on Patreon and help us keep going. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. So,
and it's nice too. If you give money to us on Patreon and support us and support what we do, you can be like on unhappy John Candy on Twitter, who tweets us quite a bit. And he rightfully pointed out earlier in the night that last week we were talking about how there was a red smoke in Kane's ambulance. And in reality, it was just smoke with a red light. So he pointed us out for being amateurs at what we do, which is why he only gave us $1.
But again, looked like smoke. It looked like red smoke to me.
Right, but we're amateurs. So John, unhappy John Candy, again, we're so thankful that you corrected us. He is a huge fan of the show. And if you want to tweet him back and tell him what you thought the color of the smoke actually was, it is at TylerV_RWWW. So
is this like one of those things where you don't know if the dress is black or blue? Mm-hmm. You don't know what the color of the smoke was?
It's going to be trending on tomorrow. It's going to be hashtag red smoke, red light, red smoke, white. Yeah,
sure.
Okay, go.
Go. Let's talk about the Madison Square Garden show. So they had the MSG special on Saturday night on the WWE Network. Quite honestly, I mean, show was fine. There was nothing wrong with it, but it was just a show. There was nothing special about it. Like I said before, I was a little surprised the New Day did not drop the tag titles to the Dudleys. But everything happened on there that I expected to happen. So I thought Chris Jericho had a very good match against Kevin Owens. Owens pulled out a victory by, you know, poking Jericho in the eye and rolled him up, got a pin. We saw New Day got disqualified. It looked like Dudleys were going to win the titles, but Xavier Woods jumped in, DQ. He ended up getting 3D through a table, but tag titles did not change hands. Brock Lesnar beat up Big Show. Big Show actually connected with 3 choke slams to begin the match. Nobody thought that Big Show was going to win, and rightfully so, because after the 3 choke slams and Brock Lesnar kicking out of a pinfall, he went to town on Show, just suplex, 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 F5, beat him up. And then after he got the win and was walking away, he came down and did it again.
I like that segment. To be something that we knew was going to be pretty terrible, I really kind of enjoyed the 5-minute brawl. I did. I thought it was kind of fun.
And it was quick, too. I mean, that's about all it lasted was like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then trying to think what other matches were on there. There was a tag match to begin. What was the tag match? It was Sheamus and
somebody versus Randy Orton and somebody.
And Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was a match. It was fine. Nothing too special about it. Mm-hmm. And then they did Seth Rollins and John Cena in the cage for the U.S. title. Yes, the world champion was challenging for the U.S. title. And at one point, Seth was on the top of the cage, and he could have just jumped off and won. But the Demon Kane was waiting for him there. So he said, nah, screw that. So he decided to dive back into the ring and try to go for a frog splash on John Cena, did not connect, and Cena ended up hitting him with an AA and got the pin. So, yes, the world champion once again lost a match, and guess what? It wasn't in a cage match where John Cena just escaped the cage. No, he got pinned again.
My wife pretty much refuses to watch cage matches nowadays because of the ludicrousy and insanity of them. When somebody is literally hanging off the side of the cage and they don't win, even though all they're going to do is just drop down, it really drives my wife crazy. Understandably so.
I don't even like the idea that you could win the match by escaping the cage. Isn't the whole point of the cage is to not only add a violent element, but to keep you inside so nobody else can get involved? There's no shenanigans that can happen here. So guess what? You keep the cage door locked. So you can keep it inside the structure.
Yep, exactly. That's, I mean,
that's my old school booking mentality. I feel like I'm harnessing Jim Cornette or something here. So,
I mean, the thing about it is that's what the cage match means. The cage match, if there is a cage, there must be interference. It's the other stipulation they don't tell you about. You know what would have made this show better?
Braun Strowman?
I was not going to say that. If you believe that, find a different show to host because we're done. The one thing that would have made this show better, Brian, was I really wanted to see Sheamus cash in. Imagine how cool that would have been. Sheamus cashes in at this Madison Square Garden house show right out of nowhere. Nobody expects it. You open up Monday Night Raw talking about this big thing that happened over the weekend on this show. Nobody expected. Now, they advertised the show. You had a bunch of anchors for this show to draw fans to it, and you open up Monday Night Raw with a new champion. That would have generated a crap ton of buzz, and they didn't do it.
Well, that's the whole thing is that, you know, they're pushing this show on the network, but then nothing special came off it. It was just like another edition of Raw or SmackDown.
Right. There's
nothing of note. So it was a missable show. So to me, that's why you have to do something notable on there to make it stand out and to show people, like, if you don't watch this show, if you don't watch shows like this, you could miss a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the tag team titles changing hands, is that really a big moment? You can make an argument about that, but at least it's something, you know. So
they literally did, I mean, they did nothing really noteworthy, notable. I mean, Chris Jericho had a nice speech, but otherwise, yeah,
he was celebrating his 25-year anniversary since his first match, but you know,
just nothing notable. So it was fun, and that match with Seth Rollins, John Cena was fun. People said match of the year on Twitter, as they always do, and as they're always wrong. But again, fun match. So
that was not even close to match of the year.
Match of the year, baby. Listen, Kane got in there too.
Whew. That was not even in the top three of their best matches this year.
If they had closed in the top of the cage and put a ladder on top of it with the U.S. Championship above it, and Vince Russo came out and got involved,
don't say that man's name. Don't use his name.
Vince Russo. If I say it three times, is he going to show up? If I look into a mirror and say it three times, will he show up behind me? Vince Russo. Vince Russo. Vince Russo.
Oh, the pain! Don't do that to me.
How long until Vince Russo's on a WWE Network special? That's what I want to know.
He shows up all the time in these different videos where they, you know, talk to different people. Like, you know, they just cut in different people talking about segments, and he's there.
It's going to be, I mean, it's going to happen, man. It's going to be like Vince Russo, straight shoot. It's going to be on there like he's going to be on the WWE Network.
Stop it.
Okay.
I'm going to give up my network membership if stuff like that starts happening. we'll talk about NXT here in just a minute. Let's talk a little bit, though, about Daniel Bryan. So we've all been wondering when he's going to come back. He recently did an interview with IGN, and he was talking about, again, that, you know, he's coming back from a concussion and he's had somebody in the past and how WWE is very sensitive to this. And he says, hey, guess what? I've had a doctor who's a neurologist who worked on the Super Bowl. He cleared me. No limitations. Test came back great. However, WWE's medical doctor is very skeptical because of his history of concussions. So that guy won't clear him. So now he is going to go to a third doctor in the near future. And that will decide whether or not he returns or not. And I guess John Cena had said, or had asked him at one point, like, if something were to happen to you in WWE, would you go back to doing indies? And he said, yes, I would. But Daniel Bryan also admitted that if this doctor does not clear him, then he should take the advice of that doctor. And at that point, he says, maybe I should be looking towards my future and take the advice of doctors and do what's best for my family and not return and retire. And he said if that happened, he would be interested in possibly doing color commentary, but he also knows it might be too tough for him to do because of the way that he would leave wrestling and how badly he wants to be in the ring. So we're going to find out the fate of Daniel Bryan here, it sounds like, within the next month or so as he goes to see this third doctor.
This is pretty compelling storylines. It's like if you could take this real-life stuff and put it into WWE television, it'd make for some pretty compelling television. I'm just saying.
So I think we all need to light a candle and keep our fingers crossed for one Daniel Bryan and hope that he's got a – I don't know. Does WWE, like, make him see, you know – you know, Dr. Joseph Baroon, who's their own personal doctor, and said, hey, man, I don't know. That might be the doctor he's already seen. So I don't know. Is he going to see a WWE-friendly doctor? And they say, hey, man, here's an extra fiver. You know, don't clear this guy. Or I don't know how that all goes down.
I imagine that there's somebody in Ring of Honor right now trying to find a doctor that they can pay off. Do not clear him, but tell him he can still wrestle if right. he takes it easy.
And WWE we're not going to take the risk, you know. And Daniel, right. and they tell Daniel, like, raise a fit, they'll cut you, you know. And, woo, he's back in Ring of Honor, you know.
Can you imagine? You were talking about something that would turn the tides of the Wednesday Night Wars.
Oh my God, it would. You know, Daniel said, though, if he went back to Indies, he'd be very interested in doing Lucha Libre.
That's what I...
He's at the Lucha Libre right now. So Lucha Underground, so they're going, come on, baby, we're going to get a rating.
Lord.
We're going to go from a 0.2 to a 0.4. Woo!
I mean, the thing is here's the deal. If he's on Lucha Libre, at least he'll be in a pretty good platform with some interesting... Lucha Underground, right. He'll be on a pretty good platform with some pretty interesting stars. If he's on Ring of Honor, nobody will be able to tell because the lights are so dark in those arenas. And if he's on TNA,
they can't be any darker than they were at Madison Square Garden on Saturday.
That's true. And if he's on TNA, nobody will be able to tell because they won't be watching the product anyway. So, I mean,
wow.
Oh, man.
It's you, man.
Tell us how you really feel, Wiseman. Come on.
Tell me about it. Speaking of something we really feel, I don't know if I should be honored or feel like I'm being defrauded. So the someone passed along word that someone else is using the Between the Ropes name. This somebody else is Fame College, Cal Berkeley, out in the great state of California, mm-hmm. where they actually have a course titled Between the Ropes, Exploring the World of Professional Wrestling.
And they did not consult us at all. We were not consulted for the Between the Ropes class, which I know a lot about Between the Ropes because I work here right now.
Here is the quick description of this course. I'll read part of it. You don't have to be a fan of professional wrestling to enjoy this course. Get ready for the most exciting and action-packed decal around. We all know professional wrestling is scripted. So why do so many fans tune into programs like WWE's Monday Night Raw and SmackDown every week and fuel this $1 billion industry? Professional wrestling is part sport, part live soap opera, and part stunt action, but all entertainment. Step between the ropes to discover how professional wrestling is a fantasy world grounded in reality and has a profound, observable influence not only on its immediate fans, but on widespread culture too.
Do you reckon they show episodes of our podcast? Do you reckon, like, tomorrow in the Between the Ropes class, they'll be watching Between the Ropes to learn? Can you imagine how meta that would be? Listen, Between the Ropes class, you should watch us every Monday night after.
How did they not know that we exist? Because you got to think they're looking at Twitter, like, from a wrestling side, and they can't, like, just look up Between the Ropes on Twitter or, I don't know, just punch it into Google. You know, because guess what's going to come up when you put Between the Ropes in there? Our website.
Me. It's going to be me. Guess what's going to happen if you put at The Real Wiseman on Twitter? You're going to find me. You should do that. Go follow me. I'm at The Real Wiseman on Twitter. Also, looking up Between the Ropes on Twitter, there are two other people we need to call out because, yes.
By the way, this course, they are using... I don't know what the Twitter handle is, but I know that the logo that they have there, it says Between the Ropes. So it's like the name of the Twitter account is Between the Ropes, but it's at something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so these must be last year's. Some guy tried to do his own Between the Ropes show. David V. This guy, this jabroni. SmackDown reviews, rumors, and Jeff's AJ Lee fetish. Yeah, you get off our internets. We own this. We own this mother. Some guy wrote a book. James Edward wrote a book called Between the Ropes. And it's just called Between the Ropes, subtitle Wrestling's Greatest. He doesn't say what it is, what Wrestling's Greatest, what? It just says Wrestling's Greatest. So you can get that for free on Kindle. So don't do that because you'd be supporting him and not us.
Would it be Between the Ropes, Wrestling's Greatest, Triumphs and Failures?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Wrestling's
That's
Greatest.
That's my book.
It doesn't say that.
That's my Between the Ropes book that I wrote.
That's not what it says. It just says wrestling's greatest. So you're good.
You sure? You sure it's not my book?
I guarantee you it's not your book, unless your name is this jabroni's name. James Edwards. I'm going to send you the link.
James Edwards. Is it James? Okay.
Edward.
It's not the former Detroit Piston. It, you know, whose nickname was Buddha.
I'm telling you, this guy's like, I don't know how to, I could read you the URL, but we're doing a live show, so that might not be fun. Speaking of Between the Ropes, wrestling's greatest triumphs and failures, Matt Hardy, your new TNA World Heavyweight Championship. I'll let you decide whether that's one of wrestling's greatest triumphs or failures.
By the way, I'm looking up this guy's book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wrestling's greatest. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
It's wrestling's greatest. That's good.
Man, I'm going to have to contact my lawyer.
He also wrote a NASCAR book, so I wouldn't be too hard on this guy. It's, you know.
These people, man. These people. How dare you besmirch the good Between the Ropes names. So, yeah, Matt Hardy is the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. He got some help from his brother, Jeff, in that match. So we had two baby faces and a heel in a three-way match, which already doesn't make sense. And on top of that, the referee was a babyface, and he helped his brother win the match, and they all stayed babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem, I mean, those guys, they worked hard. Okay, mm-hmm. I'll give them that. But problem all night with this show was it was just kind of sad. You know, the crowd tried to get in at different points, but the booking didn't make a lot of sense. They did an X Division match to start the show, and it was just a, you know, it was just a stunt show. They did a battle royal for, you know, the who gets the shot, the next world championship shot, and, you know, Malabali Shiri was out there, and everybody was dancing for some reason, doing a stupid little dance and whatever. So, I mean, that, I don't know. The show was just, you know, a bit of a mess. It was kind of sad to watch. And then Dixie Carter makes this announcement today where you're thinking it's going to be, oh, they're going to go over to India and they're going to do TV tapings there. Instead, she announces that EC3, Malabali Shira, I think that's his name. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. And I think it's Velvet Sky, are going to India where they'll make a big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't even make the big announcement right there. And, you know, the guy from India, Shira, man, he's not good. He should not be on TV now because they're going to India. They're going to cater to that crowd. So they're going to push this guy. And he is just awful. And it's sad that TNA has to get to that point where they have to push guys like that because of the, you know, where they're going to be. And the interesting thing right now is before they even go over to India, they've got four, five, six shows that are going to be on Impact, and they're out of taping material. Okay, so I don't know what they're going to air. I think this week is going to be kind of a recap of Bound for Glory and like behind the scenes segments, but I have no idea what they're going to put on TV for the next month.
Okay, let's put all that stuff aside about TNA and what are they going to put on TV and where are they taping and all their problems. Consider this. Matt Hardy is your new TNA World Heavyweight Championship. It's the first major promote. Well, I guess TNA is not really considered a major promotion on the wrestling circuits anymore. But the first major promotion wrestling World Heavyweight Championship he's won as a singles competitor. And he's coming back to WrestleCade as your reigning supreme, whatever the words that people use to describe champions, supreme reigning, whatever, WrestleCade champion.
Sure. So, reigning defending champion? Uh-huh. Is that what you're trying to get?
Supreming something something. Yep, defending. What if you want to say
supreming,
that?
Supreming. What is this, like a whopper or something you're talking about?
Yeah, he's gonna be the King Supreme Leader, Matt Hardy, coming back as your WrestleCade champion too. So, are you excited to meet Matt Hardy, your TNA/WrestleCade champion? I told you, Matt Hardy's going places. I said, listen, Brian, it's 2014. He's winning the WrestleCade championship. He's beating Drew Galloway. He's going places, baby.
Sure.
And he's a world champion a year later. So
double champion, right?
That's right. There you go.
It's just, I don't want to, you know, just continue to bury TNA, but it's just a sad story at this point, you know, and I wish that they would at least invest in some younger talent and shake things up, but it's the same model. It's the same guys. You know, I have no problem with Matt being champion. It's not the problem. It's just,
I like Matt a lot. I'm a big fan of Matt.
And Matt works really hard and he's going to push the product on social media as well. So, and he's going to be a good ambassador for you, but it's just, you need to cultivate some other stars, some younger talent. You need to shake up your formula, like we talked about with WWE, and You know, they need, their booking is just a disaster, and they need to shore those things up, and they just, they don't do it. They will not do it. And they keep doing the same thing all the time, the same problems, the same issues. And they just don't, they just will not correct themselves.
Yep. Amen.
So we've got NXT coming up on Wednesday night, the latest takeover show, Takeover Respect. That show will be taking place at Full Sail University, which I've noted before is literally right around the corner from where I live. However, despite this probably being a fantastic show, and WWE believes it's going to be so fantastic that it's not going to be a 2-hour show. It's a 2.5-hour show. I am not going to attend it live. It just so happens that that same night, winner moves on, loser goes home, National League wild card game as the Pirates take on my Chicago Cubs. And I am going to be on pins and needles all day. I will be a nervous wreck, and there's no way I could enjoy a wrestling show, and I need to be there to support my Cubbies. So it is, I got to watch the Cubs live. I
just have number to. Right here. You can watch it on your phone. Your phone. Hey, oh, look.
I'm not going to go to a wrestling show and watch the baseball game on my phone.
Do you remember back in April, we were at this little thing called WrestleMania in this little place called San Francisco. Well, it was not San Fran. It was Santa Clara. Santa Clara. Whatever. What are those Santas? Santa Clauses. We were going to go to see Mick Foley. And we sat there in the first part of Mick Foley, and I watched my NC State Wolfpack. I made the trip, baby. I went out there for WrestleMania, and I watched my NC State Wolfpack on my phone. I did not let it interfere with my normal everyday life. Even though my pack went home that night, my cardiac pack lost a few heartbeats right there near the end.
But it's okay. There's a difference, though. You watched that game before Mick Foley hit the stage.
But I want to tell you something. If Mick Foley had hit the stage, I would have respectfully put my phone down and...
Exactly. And I'm not going to go to a wrestling show and, you know, sit there and watch my phone. No, I mean, I've got to be in support of my Cubbies.
I think you out-logicked me there. So I'm gonna back off here. Yeah. I'm going to go with what Matt said. Matt said they got it. Back to the Future 2 said so. He's right. Back to the Future 2 said that Cubs are going to win this year. They're bringing the Pepsi back. It's going
to
happen.
Do you know that Back to the Future 2 is going back in movie theaters for one night only later this month? I think it's October 21st at limited theaters.
It's coming. I did see that. And it's coming to Amazon Prime in November. We're in October. Yeah. So
it's not really a tough decision for me either. But at the same time, I'm like, I really wish I could watch Takeover live and actually be there for it. But, you know, it's been a big season for the Cubs, and this is a huge game. So I got to watch the Cubs. I just have to. Here are the matches, though. So we have the semifinals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Finn Balor and Samoa Joe taking on the Mechanics, which is Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. The other semifinal, Chad Gable and Jason Jordan taking on Baron Corbin and Rhino. They will have the finals of the tag team tournament. Apollo Crews takes on Tyler Breeze. Asuka makes her debut taking on Dana Brooke. And we get the 30-minute Iron Man match for the NXT Women's Championship, or Iron Woman match, Bayley against Sasha Banks, which should be fantastic. Believe in the theory that one Finn Balor is going to turn heel on this night?
No.
I do. I think Balor and Joe are going to start the next singles feud, so I think we could get a heel turn here.
Okay. I'll buy it.
Because they haven't used him heel yet, so I'm sure that they would like to at least try that in NXT, just see where it goes.
Okay. I'll buy that. I think it's weird to do that when he's this popular, but I will take it. I will take it and see what happens.
What do you think wins that tournament?
That's a good question. I don't know, man.
Do you think Corbin and Rhino could win it?
No, I don't know. That's not going to happen.
My dark horse? Chad Gable and Jason Jordan.
That's what I'm kind of feeling. I think that's going to be a good way to just pop them up there. It's going to be a good way to give them that spot, you know?
Chad Gable is so good. If he was... And I'm sure you heard this before. If he was 6 inches taller, he would be on the main roster. But I hope he gets pushed regardless, man. That dude is, he's a stud. He is a stud, man.
I can't believe you're not going to this, man. Especially considering that, like, the next NXT event's going to be overseas. So you're not going to get another NXT event until 2016. And that might not even be until WrestleMania. I guess they'll probably do one maybe in February, but they could not do another one until WrestleMania, conceivably.
Hey, I know it's hard, man. But
sacrifices, baby.
It's sacrifice, dude. I won't even be on social media during it, man, because I don't want to know what's going on. Plus, my focus is going to be on that Cubs game. My man Jake Arrieta on the mound going to be throwing some darts against the Pirates.
I thought it was a baseball game, right? It not is. Darts, but you said darts. I got.
Well, he's a pitcher. He's going to be throwing darts, man.
Why is he going to throw? Do they let that happen now?
No, I'm just saying, not physically, he's going to be throwing like real darts. Like if you're throwing it at a dartboard, I'm just saying he's going to throw a baseball like darts.
With his mind? If they're not physical, he's doing it with his mind. Like he's like the force. This is baseball. It's going to sound more interesting. I discounted baseball.
Go back to your minor league park that you go watch. What is it? The Winston-Salem dart or whatever?
Dash.
The dash.
Yeah. Whatever. It's awesome. We used to be the Warhogs back in the day. Now we're the Dash.
Yeah. So let's get some questions. You can put the questions on the post. We always put it on Facebook. And, of course, we've got the chat room open right now here on YouTube.
You can put the questions on wherever you want to. First question, Fritzy.
Yeah.
Keith DeVera writes in the chat room, asks BTR, Undertaker versus Braun Strowman at WrestleMania 32 is being rumored. How about Undertaker teams up with Sting against the Wyatt family in a handicap match at WrestleMania 32? Protects Taker, Sting, and Strowman. What you got, Fritzy?
Well, if they believe Sting is healthy enough for a match at WrestleMania, I think it would still be Sting against Bray Wyatt. There is something that makes sense to that, but I don't think they're going to go there. I'm kind of the belief now that Sting is not going to wrestle ever again. So I don't think we're going to see that. If they do Undertaker against Braun Strowman, though, that is a bad, bad, bad idea.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that these rumors are hopefully coming from a place of people just being snippety and sarcastic, and that it's getting picked up for some weird reason, because that would be a terrible place, especially because we're all kind of assuming this could be, likely will be, the Undertaker's last match. I think that would be a terrible note to go out on. Well, and it doesn't do anybody any favors.
I think where this idea is coming from is, I don't know if Vince McMahon has really talked about it, but I think it's a kind of one of those connect the dots, something that Vince McMahon would do kind of thing, like thinking, like delving into his mentality, which are his mind. And that could be an extremely dangerous thing to do. So we'll see, you know, what happens. And maybe it will happen. I hope not. As for who else could be out there for Undertaker to face, I still say John Cena.
I think the tag match is not a terrible idea to protect both men if it's necessary. I would love to see Sting do something, but who knows? John Cena versus The Undertaker could be fun. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Brock Lesnar could be fun. Let's do it.
I'm going to tell you a match right now that is going to happen at WrestleMania.
Okay.
That we have not talked about before.
Okay. Let's do it.
Chris Jericho is going to be making his return to WrestleMania.
Okay. He's against?
Dean Ambrose.
They're going to build this feud out that long?
Yes.
Painful.
You heard it here first, people.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
All right. Francis, number one super fan Uno, writes in.
Knock it off, Francis.
Will Brian give Total Divas a chance next season?
No.
But Tyler Vilhauer writes in, and he says, in Francis' defense, I've been watching Total Divas with my roommates, and it's not a bad show.
Good for you. I don't want to watch it.
Okay. You're banned, Tyler. You're banned from Facebook. Your roommate's banned from Facebook. Don't come back here. Take this total Divas, total nonsense elsewhere. All right. Francis continues to ask. Let me pick out one of these questions he asked us. Do you think we've seen Kurt Angle's last match in TNA?
Yes.
I agree. All right. Next question. Tyler Vilhauer, who we just banned from Facebook. He asked his question before he was banned, so I'm going to give him a pass. If Team Bella arrives in a limo and Team Bad rolls in an Escalade, what vehicle would Team PCB have gotten around in?
A green Honda Civic.
This is like one of those. This is like one of those questions you got out. A green Honda Civic. I like that. It's like one of those questions.
I mean, not the color green. Like it's like, you know, environmentally conscious green.
A pink green Honda Civic.
Sure, why not?
This is like one of those things that you end of grade testing. You know, when you're a kid, you take all these tests, and it's like if a train goes 2 miles per hour, leaving a train station in 30, blah 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 blah.
Those are the worst, man. I hated those.
Mm-hmm. Tyler just tweeted me and said we can't ban him from Facebook. He also was just for the record, he was the same guy we referenced earlier in the show for our criticism of the red light, red smoke incident, whatever hashtag we're using for that now. So Tyler's all up in our business this week. I don't know what's going on with him.
All up in your grill, yo.
Francis did ask us this too. I got to come back to this. Did you see the NFL match from the UK? We call them games, Francis. They're not soccer.
You mean
soccer match?
Jets and the Dolphins. So we gave you like two of our worst teams to go enjoy and watch a football game. And the Dolphins were pathetic with Ryan Tannehill missing receivers left and right, zipping it at their feet, wide or over their heads constantly.
Yeah,
I saw a little bit of that.
I woke up and football was on. It was really weird. I was like
9:30 in the morning on the East Coast, man.
Right. I thought I was back in like mountain time zone again. It was real bizarre.
It was an awful game.
It was. We're sorry.
Hope you enjoyed that, Brits.
You guys, football. You guys packed the house out though, man. NFL's expansion to Europe could happen, baby. Could happen.
Not anytime soon. But
what if they had? Wait. I got the. What if they had an NFL European League?
I feel like they've already tried.
But how cool would that be?
Well, they get 3 games a year. That's enough.
You're so spiteful. I say give them more games. Give them some good games.
There is talk about them getting more games. There's also talk about other countries getting games, like Brazil or Mexico could get a game each year.
You've reached critical mass in America. You got to do it, baby.
Not really.
Okay. Moving on. Okay, to answer your question. I got two more. There's this fantasy booking question I want to get to. Matt Osorio writes in, and I don't think we've seen one coming from you before, Matt, so I want to get to you here. When will Shane McMahon be in the Hall of Fame?
Whenever WWE is light and they want to put him in. I mean, they haven't put any members of the McMahon family in, so I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. And, you know,
I think it could be until after he dies.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, that's a long, long time from now.
I mean, whenever he retires, Vince McMahon hasn't been put in yet. Vince McMahon's going to die on the job, so.
I don't think Vince McMahon wants to be inducted into the Hall of Fame while he's alive.
That's what I'm saying. After he dies, all these people, the McMahon family will be after they die.
Unless they retire.
See. Okay. We got more Hall of Fame questions. Steven
Yin. Well, mean Street Posse go in with Shane O'Mac?
From the mean streets of Greenwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pete Gas, man. I ran into Pete Gas at one of the Hall of Fames, and I was just like, yo, Pete Gas! And he was like, turned around and started laughing his ass off.
All right, last question so we can get off here. I know you guys are asking us a bunch more questions. We appreciate it. Please keep asking us questions each week.
Demolition, Hall of Fame, 2016?
Yeah, okay. What do you think?
No, because I think they only like to put in one tag team, and I think they're putting in the Freebirds.
All right.
Or else Steve Austin is going to boycott WWE forever, as he said.
Right. Here's the last question. Matt writes in. Matt Mew writes in. Ask BTR. A bit of fantasy booking question here. If you were given control of booking for WWE, what one talent would you take from the main roster or NXT roster to be your centerpiece?
John Cena.
No, you cannot take John Cena. Why not?
He sells a lot of merchandise. He gets some ratings.
Okay. Who would be the centerpiece of your product?
Brock Lesnar.
Well, he's a part-timer. What full-timer would be the centerpiece of your product?
Somebody different that hasn't been in this position yet. Is that kind of what he's alluding to?
Yes. Let me give mine. Mine would be Kevin Owens.
I could see Kevin Owens. I definitely can. I wish they would give him more promo time.
Yep.
He really needs to get some. Let me think here. I don't know. It's tough.
It's like that train question we had earlier. if a train leaves a station going 25 miles per hour heading due north at...
I mean, I know some people say Finn Balor. I think he's going to be a big player, but I think you can make that argument. Like, is he going to be a big enough guy? Will people look at him that way? Plus, remember, he's already 35 years old. But, I mean, he's a very healthy and spry 35-year-old. I know some people say Cesaro. I wouldn't go that far with Cesaro. It's an interesting question. Kevin Owens will probably be the one that really stands out to me. The one guy I'm curious about to see how he will get over on the main roster is Sami Zayn.
Okay.
And will people accept him in the manner that they have in NXT? Will they take to him very quickly? Because he's a guy that, you know, not overly huge, but not small by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. And right. I'd be curious to see how, you know, he's going to be there. But Kevin Owens is a really, really good choice.
Let me flip the script on you. If you could take any talent from outside of WWE, including NXT, who would be the centerpiece of your promotion? And I'm going to go ahead and offer mine up. I would love to put Bobby Roode in that position.
Bobby Roode would be a good choice, even though Bobby is, you know, in his late 30s now.
You do it for a couple of years, you build up some younger talent. Perfect booking.
Well, then, if you're going to only do it for a couple of years, you could make an argument that AJ Styles would be a great choice for that then.
That'd be perfect.
The two that stand out to me, well, there's actually three. I really want to be a thief. So, you know, I mentioned AJ Styles.
Okay.
I would say Shinsuke Nakamura from New Japan.
Sure.
And the other one to me would be Adam Cole.
Okay. You're a big Adam Cole, Mark.
Huge. Baby. You know what? You can make an argument too now for Jay Lethal.
You could. You could.
I really think you can, you know, because Jay is really, he's always been really good, but he's really stepped up his game lately. Now he's the double champion in Ring of Honor. You know, fantastic in the ring, cuts good promos and everything. So, I mean,
Jay, and when he does those commercials for like elderly life insurance in Ring of Honor, it makes you
want to be old just so you can buy some right now.
Right. Exactly.
Like, man, if only I was 30 years older, you know, I could get some of this right now.
Yep. So. On that note,
we're going to wrap it up as we've gone a little bit long here, but we do appreciate everybody for joining us immediately following Raw like we do each and every week. Just a couple of reminders. Please support us on Patreon. If it's $1 a month, $5 a month, whatever that you can afford, if you could do that, that would be fantastic. And making sure that we keep doing what we do. If you like what we do, you value what we do, want to make sure we keep doing it, please support us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. You can also support us in a variety of other ways, including subscribing to us right here on YouTube. Just click on the subscribe button so that way you can see all our new videos as soon as they go up. Plus, you can like our videos, share them, tell everybody else about them, friends, family, the entire world. And of course, you can comment on the videos as well. You can find us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/betweentheropes. We're also on Twitter @betweentheropes. And you can go to betweentheropes.com as well. So thanks again, Mikey. He's Michael Wiseman. Appreciate it. And I am Brian Fritz. And thanks again for joining us. And we'll talk to you soon right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.